Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Chof Ches. The top of the blot is in the middle of the sugya, so we might as well do a very, very quick summary of Chof Zayin Amid Beis, and then get into Chof Ches. And that is, we're talking about Maaseh Sheni, and in the Mishnah it said that when you are using, let's start again, a person who lives in Tel Aviv or Bnei Brak, and he has a farm, and Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed him with a tremendous crop one year. He has a million bushels of wheat, or a million bushels of barley, or whatever. And now for Maaseh Sheni, he's giving 10%, and that 10% means he has to go and take 100,000 bushels to Yerushalayim. That's a lot of bushels to schlep to Yerushalayim. You're going to have to go and hire workers and U-Haul trucks and caravans and horses and donkeys to go and schlep it all to Yerushalayim. It's going to cost a lot of money. So the Torah says, Echabanaitza, and the Eitza is, Vetzarta Kesa Biyodcha. You can go and be poide all of your 100,000 bushels of grain, transform it into money, and twice 100,000 bushels is $10,000. You take the $10,000 to Yerushalayim. Fine, now I have the money in Yerushalayim. What do I do with that money? Can I go and buy Svarim with that money? Can I dedicate a Sefer Torah with that money? Can I give tzedakah? And the answer is, you have to use Maaseh Sheni money strictly for food. Which pasuk are you referring to? So if you have the Torah Ora Sholem here on Chof Zayin Amid Beis, the Torah Ora Sholem quotes the pasuk, V'nasata Kesef, bring that money to Yerushalayim and you can use it B'choyla Shetav Nafshecha, whatever you want. Really? Whatever I want? I can go and buy svarim with that money? No. Babokor uvatzoin uvayayin uvasheichor. It's got to be food items. And anything that you want. V'yachal tesham and then eat there lefnei Hashem alekecha v'samachta ato v'isecha. So clearly we see from the pasuk that the only thing that you can use the money for is for food. However, as you remember yesterday, and as the Gemara will continue today, this pasuk immediately screams out that I am a pasuk of klal uprat uklal, or riboy miut v'riboy. How does it scream out? Because it starts off, menesata kesem b'choyel asher ta'av nafshecha, whatever you want. That's a klal, or a riboy. And then we have the prat, b'bakar v'tzayni yayin v'sheichar. Only those four items. And then we have again, v'choyel asher tishol chanafshecha, anything that you want. So that's a typical klal uprata, klal uribu mit variboy. But bottom line is, v'yachalta, you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So we already discussed yesterday what is the difference if you hold it's a riboy mit variboy or the klal uprata klal. And the Gemara said that if you hold a riboy mit variboy, this pasuk includes fish. So therefore, not only can you go and use the money to buy bakar v'tzayin meat, to go and buy wine and to go and buy other type of wine, you can also go and use this money to go and buy dogim, fish. And that's both according to Buda ben Godish as well as according to Reb Lezer. However, if you go and darshu with a klal upratu klal, the Gemara said it's not that simple. On the surface, there would be a machloikis whether or not fish is included or not. And the Gemara brought two tanoim of two brises. We'll just go over the brises quickly. If you start on the fifth or the sixth of the wide lines, down on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amid Beis, morning David, you'll see it says in the brise of Ahani Tanoi Darshi Kol Yuprati, the following tanoim darshin klal upratu klal. This anya, state in the brise. When it's ati kez b'chol ashtav nafshecha klal. B'boker v'tzayin yam v'sheichar prat. What's ke'ena prat? Ma'aprat mafurish pri mipri. All the four items that we listed in the pasuk are things which are pri mipri. That means that they develop and they themselves developed from peiros, from offspring, either produced offspring or they were the offspring of previous generations. In other words, pri mipri certainly is referring to Yayin of Ashechar, that you grew grapes, and these grape seeds will grow further generations of grapes. But the same thing applies to Bakar Vatzayin. that they themselves were born from their mummies, the animals, and they will produce some yet shem future offspring. That's a pre-mipri. Gidule karkana. Normally, gidule karka means something that actually grows from the ground. Here, the Gemara is using the expression gidule karka to mean things that grow because they eat from the ground. That's gidule karka. And that applies, of course, across the entire animal kingdom, because all the animals, they go and eat grass and other things from the ground. So therefore they are called gidule karka, of kol pri mepri gidule karka. So that's the first braisa explaining the klal uprato klal. V'tan yirich, and then there's another braisa, which is similar, but different. Ma prat mefurish vlad v'lodei so'oret, just like all the things that we enumerated in the pasuk are things that grew from the ground. What do you mean it grew from the ground? So Rashi says that initially during Maaseh Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bokar V'Tzoyin, all the behemoths, all the chayis from the ground, from the earth. Afkol v'lad v'lad v'sa'aretz, all to anything which was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, Sivish Yimei Bereishis, anything that grew from the ground. The two drushes seem to be very, very similar. Omer by dog in ikvinai, oh, then after minu vigla gabe fish. That what? Lamandi ever primi primi giduli karka. Hani dogim are also giduli karka ninu. What means it also giduli karka? Because just like the cattle and the sheep, they roam and eat grass and hay and straw from the ground. Similarly, fish, they'll also eat from the riverbed, the seabed. They'll eat things that grow from the ground. And therefore, they're also gidule karka. Amad yom avlad v'les ha'oretz, dogimi may ivro. The pasuk it says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the fish, he created them not from earth, he created them from water. Therefore, they are different. Aha. Kum d'chayis ha'am machloik is now between the two tanoim of these two braises, whether fish can be purchased with maser sheni money. Frank Dimara, when the last line of Chof Zayin Amid Beis, Umi Amar Abaye Dogim Gidule Karka Ninu, is it taka true that Abaye holds the Dogim are considered to be Gidule Karka because they eat from the ground? Ay, Vomar Abaye, the same Abaye said, top of Chof Ches, Ocho Putisa Loike Arba, Nemala Loike Chomish, Tzira Loike Sheish. All of these three are different types of Shrotzim. However, it depends on what type of sheretz we're talking about. A potisa, says Rashi, is a sheretz hamayim. It's an aquatic sheretz. Nemola is an ant, which by definition is a sheretz haoretz. And a tzira is a hornet or something similar, a wasp, a chmais. And that is something which is sheretz haoif, that flies. So if a person eats one of those three, he can get multiple malkusim. Putisa, you can get Malkus up to four times. What's the reason why four times? So Rashi brings Psukim in the Torah. The first two, Rashi says, are generic and apply to all Sheretzim across the board, both Sheretz Haoretz and Sheretz Hamayim. Which two Psukim are those? They're really two Isurim in the same posik. It's the third line from the top of the Rashi. It says in Vayikra, Al tishatzu es nafshei seichem bechol hasheretz hashoyreitz. So that's Isur number one, Al tishatzu. Number two, Veloisi tamu vahem. Hari kanshnaim. You have now two Isurim, and chas v'sholom, you're over these two Isurim with hasra. You can get Malkus twice. The kol of the hem in this pasuk that we just read includes bein sheretz haoretz and bein sheretz hamayim. This is a generic pasuk referring to all types of beautiful shrotzim. What about the other two? Putisa is loika arba. So sheretz hamayim has another two psukim. Rashi brings the psukim. Umishum sarim loisei chaylu. Umishum l'chol asher ein lois naper v'kaskeses b'amoyim loisei chaylu. This aquatic creature, this little sheretz that roams around the water, does not have snapper the kaskasis, and therefore it's not a bona fide fish, and you cannot eat it. And the pasuk certainly says chelu also is a pasuk that follows right after discussion about sheretz amay. Anyways, we have two generic psukim, two generic isurim, I should say. You have two specific, two sheretz amayim. If you're oiver and you eat a whole putisa, Rashi points out, putisa, you don't have to eat a kezayis, because it's a very small sheretz hamayim. One of these little things that you see in the water. If you eat the whole thing, even though it's less than a kezayis, you get four times malchus because it's a beria. When you eat a full beria, even if it's less than a kezayis, you're chayv. Okay, that's a putisa. Nemola is the ant. Nemola, you get five times malchus. The reason five times? Rashi says two. For that initial pasuk that we already quoted, the generic pasuk in the previous Rashi. And then Rashi says that we have three other psukim. What are the three other psukim? You have kol hoylech al gochayn v'chol asheretz ha-shoyretz loy soichlum. That's one. You have v'chol asheretz ha-shoyretz al oret sheketzu loy ye'ochel. It's two. V'loy setamu et nafshei seichem v'chol asheretz ha-roymeth al oret. It's three. Three plus the original two, the generic two, three plus two is five. Okay, that's if you eat an ant. If you're eating a tzira, if you're eating a hornet, then loike sheish. How do you get six? Says Rashi, because every hornet, like all flying bugs, they don't all fly at all times. From time to time, they take a rest. And where do they rest? They rest al ha'aretz. And then when they're resting on the aretz, they might creep on the aretz for a few steps, so they're also deemed to be a sheretz aretz. And in addition to that, they're also a sheretz ho'oif, because they also fly. So therefore, says Rashi, every sheretz ho'oif, like this tzira, has the five of the nemola, meaning the two generic that refer to all sheretzim, the three that refer to sheretz aretz, as well as a sixth one, which is referring to the sheretz ho'oif. And Rashi brings the pasuk, V'choyl sheretz ha'oif, sheketzu lo yeyochel, she'a fine zayigit. Four, five, and six. Says Yomar V'niso, if you're going to go and tell me, as was, that dogim are also considered to be digidule karka, not that they grow from the ground, but that they also are critters on the ground, like the animals and like all the shrotzim. Why are they critters? Because also they from time to time eat from the foliage, eat from the grass, things that grow from the ground. So they're also gedule karka. If they're also gedule karka, so then they should get malchus mishum sheretz aretz. So why did we say at the outset, legabi putisa is loike arba, it should really be loike, says Rashi, altogether seven. Why would it be altogether seven? Because we have the fact that it is all of the five of the nemula, which is loike chamesh. Why is it loike chamesh? Because you have the two generic ones. You have the additional three because it's sheretz aretz. And now, if the dogim are also to be considered gedule karka, you have the additional two lavin that apply to the sheretz hamayim, like we said at the top of the amud. That a sheretz hamayim has the two generic lavin and the two specific to the sheretz hamayim. So take the two sheretz hamayim ones, take the five which are the nemala ones, those are the sheretz aretz, and therefore says the Gemara, if dogim are deemed to be also gidule karka, and therefore the Gemara equates gidule karka to sheretz aretz, because you're on the land nibbling at and eating from the stuff, from the grass and greens that are growing from the land. So then a putisa, you should be loike altogether seven, says Yomar V'nisa, putisa nami lilki mishum ha-sheretz ha-sheretz ha-la-aretz. So if I wouldn't say that dogim agduli karka, I would say that they swim around in the water. So these are sheretz ha-mayim, they're not sheretz ha-aretz. But if I'm saying that even aquatic creatures, like fish, they're also gidule karka, even though they don't nibble at the grass on the street, on in the farms, on the land, but down below in the water they do. So that's enough to deem them, says our Gemara, to be a sheretz aret. So then they should have a chiyav of seven lavin by the putisa, five of the sheretz arets, and two specific to the sheretz mayim.
Therefore, does that eliminate entirely the category of sheretz hamayim then? Because there'd be no separate category of sheretz hamayim. It'd either be sheretz haaretz slash mayim or sheretz oath.
You kind of got a little bit fuzzy. I didn't understand your question.
if you're going to say that every Charis HaMayim is also Charis HaAretz, then you've eliminated Charis HaMayim entirely. You don't have a four. You have either seven for Charis HaMayim / HaAretz, or you have Charis HaOf, which is six. Don't you eliminate by this Kacheshben?
No, you're absolutely right. According to what the Gemara is asking now, we should start over Abaye's Memra, and we should say, Ochel Putisa, not Loika Arba, but it should be Loika Sheva. If you eat a Nemola, you should be Loika Chomesh. You eat a Tzira, you're Loika Shesh. How do you get to the Cheshbon? The Nemola, you have five, because you have two generic ones that refer to all Shratzim. You have three, which is specific to Sheretz Aretz, so that's five. The Tzira adds one more because it flies, so Sheretz Oif, that's 5 plus 1 is 6. And anything aquatic that goes in the water should be 7. It should be the 5 of the Nemala, plus 2 more, which refer to the Sheretz Amayim. So therefore, says Yimara, why do you say Putisa is down to 4? Putisa should be 7. It should be Nemala plus 2. Just like Tzira is Nemala plus 1, so Putisa should be Nemala plus 2. The 5 that refer to all, you have two which are generic, you have three which are specific to Sheretz Aretz, and then you have two which are specific to Sheretz Amayim, that Rashi said about Putisa. So take the two plus the five, and you have seven. So Frek Diyamara, if you hold that Dogim, which means all aquatic things, are all considered to be Gedulei Karka, and therefore they're also Sheretz Ala Aretz, why don't you go and say Putisa is seven? By the fact that Abaye didn't say that, is the Haraya that Dogim are not considered to be Gedulei Karka, and so therefore there is no machloikis between the two brises. We said Ikke Benai, between the two brises. That if you hold Gedulei Karka, Dogim can be purchased with mas or sheni money. And according to the second brise, since they're not Vlodis Oris, they cannot be purchased with mas or sheni money. Our Gemara concludes at this point that both brises agree the dogim cannot be purchased with Maser Sheni money. So if you bring Maser Sheni money from Bnei Brak, from Tel Aviv, or whatever in Eretz Yisrael, you come to Yerushalayim, yes, you can buy Chalas with it, you can go and buy Neat with it, you can go and buy Kompot, you can go and buy Kegel and Chowent, but not fish according to these two Mandiyamim. Why not? Because the Klal Uprat Uklal tells us it has to be either Gedulei Karka or it has to be Vlodei Sa'aretz, and Dogim are not Gedulei Karka, not like we said until now. How do I know they're not Gedulei Karka? By the fact that Putisa only has 4 and not 7. And they're also not Vlodei Sa'aretz, because like Rashi brought before, like the Gemara said, because Dogim Mimai Ivru, they were created from water and not from the Aretz. So Ibazoi said, what is the nafkimina between these two tanoi? Can you go and use Maser Sheni money to go and buy chicken? What's the shaila? These are also gedule karka, because just like we said about the cattle and we said about the sheep, that they nibble from the ground and they eat the greens, and that's why they're called Gedulei Karka. The same thing with the chickens and the geese and the ducks. They also, very often you'll see them walking on the ground and they'll be chomping and eating and biting from the gedulim, from the karka. So therefore, you could use Maser Sheni money to go and buy fowl. L'man v'yomer v'lod v'lod ha'aretz hani oifis min erkak nivru. When you're talking about the oifis, they were not created strictly from earth, not strictly from water, but from a mixture of the two, from a combination which we would call mud. And therefore, since they're not vlodis ha'aretz strictly, they are excluded. And you would not be able to go and buy chicken with Maser Sheni money. Someone who did that, he would be committing a foul act, because you're not allowed to buy fowl with Maser Sheni money. Anyway, so we have a machloikis between these two. That's the nafkimina between these two mandiyam klal uprat uklal. So bekitzur raboisai, just a quick review. The two tanoim of yesterday, meaning those that learned from a riboy, miut v'riboy, included fish. Fish was included. You could use Maser Sheni money to go and buy fish. The only machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish and Rabbi Lezer was whether you can also buy fish yoach. Fish yoach is fish sauce. Does it have to have kirvei dogim in it? Does it have to have pieces of fish? But kuli almoid, if you're buying a whole fish, even gefilte fish, you'd be able to go and buy with Maaseh Sheni money, no problem. Riboy mir for riboy. But now that we're learning klal uprata klal today, no, the two tanoim that learn klal uprata klal say you cannot buy fish. Can you go and buy chicken or goose or duck or any other fowl? One man the yama, the first time that you have the machloikim thing to do the karka and blow this aris, one man the yama says, yes, you can go and buy chicken from Maaseh Sheni money. And the other one says, you cannot. It's a machloikis. Now what's bothering the Gemara is, since both of these latter tanoim are learning from the same biblical rules that Rabbi Shmuel codified in, as we say every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, the Klal Uprata Klal, why would one man the Omer learn Klal Uprata Klal, Kedulia Oretz, to include the Oifois? And why would the other one learn it's Tafke Velodois Oretz, it had to have been created from the ground, otherwise it's not included, and that's why Oifois are excluded? Why would we say that? And that's the Gemara is going to ponder now. So Timur yes, might mandit marbi oifis my taima, or mandit mamet oifis my taima. The one that is marba oifis because they gedule karka, why does he learn the way he learns? And the one that excludes oifis because they're not vlodi sa'oret, why does he learn the klalu prata klal the way he learns? Explain Zimar. Mandit marbi oifis kosova klola basra dafka. Prat uklal nasa klal moisef ala prat. Visrabluhu kol mili. Vahani klal kamalamut. They called the loy domi le mishnei tzedodim. So the Gemara is saying is, although we have this rule of klal uprat uklal, klal uprat uklal itself is made up, if you will, of two pratim, or two klalim, depending which way you look at it. What do you mean it's made up of two klalim, two pratim? What happens if you only have a klal and a prat? So we know again from Rabbi Shmuel Leiner, klalu prat, ein bechlal elamashe befrat. The only thing you get is the benefit of a prat. Klalu prat. Just let's say in our pasuk that we've been learning until now. If we'd only say, menasata kesa b'chola sheta'av nafshecha, just if the pasuk would end over there, I would say, b'chola sheta'av nafshecha, you can buy anything and everything. You can go and buy svarim with this money. It doesn't have to be food items. And then the pasuk said, "Babaka v'tzom v'yayin v'sheicha." Oh, ein bechlal amashe befrat. Only these four things, nothing more, nothing less. Babaka v'tzayin ein bechlal amashe befrat. But now I have a klal basra uvechol hashir tisholcha nafshecha. I'm obviously marba much, much more. What am I marba more? Anything which is ke'ena prat. So I started off with a klal uprat. Very, very, very limited, only the prat. By adding the second klal, I added a whole bunch of other things which are k'ena prat. Fine. That's one way of going about it. There's another way of going about it. And that is, what happens if the pasuk would start off with prat uklal? Not start off with a klal uprat uklal, or a klal uprat. But if you have just a prat, the pasuk would say, you come to Yerushalayim, go and buy bakar v'tzoyin uvayayin uvasheicha uvachol asher tish'olcha nafshecha. So that would be a prat and a klal. So then we have a rule. Nasa klal moisif al ha-prat. By the fact that the Torah starts off with first enumerating four pratim, so I might think, oh, so it's only those four, nothing more. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, no, uvachol asher tish'olcha nafshecha, you can enjoy much, much, much more than those four. So therefore, Israbluhu kol mili. So now the Torah is opening up the floodgates to add in everything and anything. It's not just these four. Anything. The four that I enumerated were just examples. You know, you want to come to Yishlaim, yeah, babakar and tayin and yayin and sheikhar and anything else, etc., etc., whatever you want. Nasaklal moisef ala prat. So then, at least theoretically, you can go and buy any food item. Because the pasuk finishes off, yechal tesham, it's got to be food. Good. But now that I have my initial klal, the klal, upratu klal, not just a pratu klal, I have my initial klal, that klal puts the brakes and say, oh, no, no, don't go overboard. Don't think rubber kol mili. We got to limit it. So therefore, you see that there are two different approaches. Approach one is that you start off klal uprat, very limited, and then I add the additional klal to expand the limitation. Or it works the other way around. I start with a prat uklal, and I said, oh, rabu kol mili, everything is now included. And now I put the brakes on by adding the first klal uprat to klal to say, don't go overboard, don't go crazy. rather you got to go and limit your list. So based on these two approaches, that's why the two Tanoim come from different directions. So again, Zokti Mor Nochmo. Man de marbi oifis my time, man de mamet oifis my time. Man de marbi oifis kasava, the one that includes the oifis, he holds klola basra dafka. That of the two klals, of the klal uprata klal, the real major klal that we focus on is the second klal. And therefore, it's as if you start off with pratu klal, which is nasa klal moisim lepratvis rabu kovili, everything and anything. But what do we do with that first cloud? The first cloud tells you, Rabbi Yisai, don't go and go crazy and buy anything and everything. It's got to be cloud uprat uklal. It's got to be ke'enaprat. But how extensive ke'enaprat? It has to be doimaloi mishnei tzedodim. What are the shnei tzedodim? Like we said in the Gemara in the Amud Beis, it's got to be pri mipri, and it's got to be gedule karka. Okay. So what does that include? That includes even oifis. I'm not going to go and make numerous requirements as a result of ke'enaprat. I'm going to go and have a very short list, because the essence of this drasha is the prat and the klal marbekomili. And the first klal is only going and limiting it a little bit. So we do a small limitation, prima pri, gedule karka, and then includes oifis. The one that excludes oifis kasava, klala kama dafka. The real of the klal uprata klal, it's the first klal, that's the big one. And therefore, klal uprata mechala mashu befrat. Hani emi dechrin aloi. Very, very, very short list. Bahani klala basa, what does the second klal come to do? Little buya called the domile. You want to go, I'll add some more. Since I had my second klal, I'll add some more. But when I add some more, I'm not Rabbi Kol Mili. I'm only adding those things which are Domile Mishloisha Tzedodim. They have to be similar in three respects. What are the three respects? Pri V'pri, Gidule Karka, and V'lodaisa Aret. And since Oifis were not created from the ground, rather they were created Min Harikak, therefore they're excluded. And that's why you have the Machloikis between first Tana and second Tana, even though both are learning Klal Uprato Klal, whether or not I include oifis or I do not include oifis. So we're going to have people bringing up Maaseh Sheni money to Yerushalayim. If they want to go and buy chalas, no problem. They want to go and buy fruits, no problem. If they want to go and buy fish and they want to go and buy chicken, oh, then you got to put your brakes on and you got to start thinking. According to the first two man, the Yom and the Lun, Ribu Miyad Varibu, yes, you can go buy the fish. According to the two klal of Prada klal, Tanoim, you cannot buy fish. You can buy fish, but you got to use chulin money. You cannot use maser sheni money. And according to, and as well, if you want to buy chicken, then according to these two mandiyama, the klal of Prada klal, then one mandiyama says you can buy chicken with maser sheni money, and the other one says that you cannot. And now we start on a new shtickle, and we're going to talk about other food items as well. And the Gemara is relatively simple. You just have to remember which food item we're talking about and in which connection. Ma'arvin, you can make an eider from piapuim, chalaglugois, and good gidonios. Rashi says piapuim are yirokois, the first wide line down below. Yirokois akarin kakuli, beloshen rami, yutlish belaz. And in the famous English art scroll, they say this is an obscure food, and we don't know what it really is today, lemaisa. What a chalaglugois. Rashi says that this is pulpir balaz, and there you do have a taich in the art scroll, but it's a food item that I'm not familiar with. Maybe some of you are familiar with, and it sounds like porcelain, but it's spelled a little bit differently. I think it's purslane. That's purslane. What is purslane? Maybe Steve knows. Steve knows a lot about exotic food, so it's good to have him aboard for these things. Anyway, purslane, which is spelled P-U-R-S, like a purse, lane, L-A-N-E, purslane. One word, dos is chalaglugos. Good gedonios is coriander. And even though I don't know what coriander is, but I know David Reese brought in coriander seeds one time, and you have to know that because Rashi says that the mun was doimet to the... good gedonius, so the coriander. Anyway,
coriander, coriander, you can use the seeds or the good green. It's like parsley. Let's say it's a different taste from parsley. They use it in a lot of the spreads. The coriander, very popular. The green.
Okay, are you familiar with purslane as well?
It's like a wild, like a grass, like a green of some kind. It's not as common. It grows wild.
So good. So in fact, all three of these are such types of vegetables and greens, which the art scroll says normally are used as spices, but there are many people that use it as food items. They eat it in itself. Anyway, since it isn't...
What is also...
Please.
I think one of them, the first one might have been like an arugula.
Arugula.
Or rocket, they call it in Hebrew. It's a green one. You can use it in salads. It's very good. It's a little sharp, a little spicy.
We're going to have rocket a little bit further down. So we're going to talk about that too.
That's this. Okay, I know that's mentioned. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, this is these three. If you
coriander is very common. It's used in salads. It's used in like a chug, all kinds of spreads and such.
Good.
Very common.
Beautiful. So all three of these you can use for an Erev for Shabbos. What type of Erev are we talking about? According to everybody, we're talking about Eruv Tchumin. What they're also talking about Eruv Chatzeres is a Machloikis, Rashi, and Toisis, as I'm sure you learned yesterday in the Mishnah. When we do Eruv Tchumin, you want to be able to go beyond your 2,000 Amos of Tchum, so you can go and put away two Seudois. So if you want to put two Seudois away of Puapuim, Chalaglugas, Good Gedonias, no problem, you can make an Erev with those. Avaloi, but not with chaziz, v'loi b'kofni ois. What is chaziz? Chaziz is green grain. In other words, grain that has not fully ripened yet. It's still green. And kofni ois, says Rashi, are t'mor m'ro'ois sh'loi bishlu kol tzorchan. These are dates, which are inferior dates, which have also not grown their full amount. They are unripened dates. So here you're talking about unripened chaziz, t'vua grain, unripened dates. You cannot use those for an Erev, because presumably people don't eat them when they are still green, just like when you have very, very green bananas. You wait until they turn a little bit yellow. Most people won't eat them when they are really green, because they're really not edible yet. It's only when they start ripening. So chaziz and kofnias are not ripened yet, so you can't make an Erev with them. We go back to good gedonias, which is the coriander. Freit mor min le'arvin, can you use coriander for an Erev? Otani good gedonias. Merube bonim yoichlu, chashuche bonim lo yoichlu. Coriander is the type of thing that unfortunately has an effect on the potency of a person's shichvas zera, on a person's carry. And therefore, if a merube bonim, a person already has 12 or 15 children, he has no problem. He can eat as much coriander as he wants, as he wishes. If his wife doesn't become pregnant, all right, Baruch Hashem, he already has 12 or 15 kids. However, if a person unfortunately does not have children... Yes, what's up there? Yes, Steve?
It might be connected. It's a strong diuretic.
Uh-huh. Okay. So?
Coriander.
Good. So this coriander, if you do not
have... Coriander is famous as cilantro, I believe.
Sorry, what was that?
The plant part is called cilantro.
Cilantro,
yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. We're getting a real food fest this morning in terms of information about food items. That's kabbalik. But chashuch ivan, a person who chas v'shalom has no children or has very few children, lo yoichel, he shouldn't go and eat good gedonias because it's not healthy in terms of being able to procreate to have more children. Vim hukshu lezera. If the good gedonias, the coriander, is not soft and moist, but it's hardened like a piece of wood or like a rock, even a merubi bonim shouldn't eat it because it's really not edible in that form. It's just too hard. Okay, so what do I see from this? Good gedonias is not the type of food that a person should be eating. How can you say ma'arvin, make an erev with good gedonias? Number one, we're talking about it's still moist. It's still soft. It's not hard like wood or a rock. And we're talking from Reuven Bonham, a person, Baruch Hashem, already has 12 or 15 kids. He's allowed to go and eat it without any hesitation. It's talking about a person, unfortunately, has not been blessed with children or not with a lot of children. However, the reason why he's allowed to go and make an Erev, even though he himself would presumably not participate and partake of the coriander, of the chazal merubin banim, because he can go and give it to his friend who, Baruch Hashem, has many children. And as we learned in the Mishnah, that a nozer can make an erev with wine, even though he cannot partake from the wine, but he can share it with his friends. And a Yisrael can make an erev out of truma, even though he cannot eat the truma, he's a Yisrael, but he can share it with his kohanic friends. That's still enough for an erev. Even though the person who is the chashuche vanim cannot eat the coriander, or at least should not eat the coriander, but since his brothers and mishpucha and friends that are Baruch Hashem merubei banim, so he can share it with them. When did Rav say that you could make an erev with these good gedonias with the coriander? Bindakuki midoi. Kindakuki means coriander from modai. And from modai, says Rashi, these are great, these are perfect for everyone. If you look at Rashi, hindakuki madoi, good gedonios, shimi modai yofoi, saying they are great. In other words, apparently, this rule about chashuche vanim and merubei begadim Bonim does not apply to the Modian Gidgidonios. The Modian Gidgidonios are really good Gidgidonios. They're really good Gidgidonios. They're good for everybody. Chashuchim Bonim, Merubi Bonim, and therefore those can be used for an Erev without any hesitation. Good. But let's go to the second list of Rav. Rav said Chazit. Yes. Question? Yes, David. David Fishman. Shoot.
If someone makes an Erev Chatzirot and knows that all the other Dayarim in the Chatzir fit into the category of Chasuke Banim, can he then make use of good Banim?
Yeah, I don't think that when the Mishnah says, let's make an easy case. You have five people in the Chatzir, all of them happen to be Yisraelim. None of them are Kehanim. Said in the Mishnah that Yisrael can use a bitruma, even though it's not good for him, but he can go and share it with others. But none of the others are kohanim either, which is your question. So the Mishnah doesn't address that. So it would seem to me it doesn't have to be dafka the people in that chotzer. It just means it's a mukam shvisa that people are welcome to come and eat there and enjoy the food. And so therefore, even if it's not necessarily the people that live in the chotzer, but bear in mind, you're assuming once again that all of these foods are good for Ruvei Chatzeres. There's in fact a major machloikin between Rashi and Tosfos on our Mishnah. If you want to go back just for a short second, turning the blot back to Chav Vav Amud Beis, Rashi started off the new perek Bakol Ma'arvin Ruvei Chatzeres and Chumen. Like you're saying, you're talking about the Chatzer. However, the first Tosfos vehemently disagrees with the Rashi, and he says, "Pirish bekuntres eruvi chateres tchumen ve'ein nira. The beruvi chateres binan pas. The only thing that you can go and use for eruvi chateres would have to be dafka, using bread, chalis, bukalach, matzis, but you can't use any of the items that we're speaking before, and therefore you don't have to worry about the chashuchi vanim or the merube vanim in your example, because in that case we're talking about that." We're talking about only chalas. Chalas, of course, do not fit into the category of the good gedonias. However, this would apply, of course, once again to tchumen. And tchumen, you can ask the same question. Okay, he cannot go and eat from it, but somebody else. Since according to everybody, you can go and use for the Yisrael can use truma, or the nozer can go and use yayin. Why, even though lechazilei, it's chazi to somebody else. But nobody else wants to go in that direction of the tchum. I'm the only guy that wants to extend my tchum. So you see that there is no kepeda, the davke has to be roy for immediate friends. Yes, David, follow-up question. Yes.
So, even according to Pesach, where you, bread is the, can a Kohen make an erev with truma.
You're saying the Yisrael can use for truma. And the answer is, our Mishnah says that the Yisrael can use truma, even though he himself cannot use it. However, since his friends, Romans and countrymen, they can, I don't know about Romans, but since others can, it's good. So it'll be both for Ruvei Chatzeres and for Ruvei Tchumen. I see Barry has a look of consternation on his face. Everything okay, Barry? So let's continue on.
My question was about Erev Chumah and Erev Chaseros. You just addressed it by saying we're talking about Erev Chaseros, because you said earlier, you were saying that the Mashmah Post was earlier. You just addressed it, thank you.
Okay, but remember,
Erev Tavshilin, I think we say you have to bring two different types of Michael.
That's correct. That's something baked, and something cooked. Absolutely. Because to allow for baking and to allow for cooking. That's correct. But it doesn't necessarily have to be made out of pot. Yes. Okay. So anyway.
But here you have to, pas is sufficient, I guess. Just one loaf of bread is sufficient.
If it's enough for two scooters.
If my Arab in my building, one box of matzahs should do it.
One box of matzahs doesn't even for 100 residents. Even though normally we say it's to be two suitors for each one, but in Shulchan Aruch says that if once you have at least 18 kezesim, that already covers a whole city, if you will. If I'm not mistaken, I think those that sponsor the Manhattan Erev and maybe the West Side Erev, Manhattan Erev, I think they leave the box of matzahs with the mayor. I'm not sure what he does with it. Maybe he wrote on it a big mural, Black Lives Matter. I'm not sure. And I think the West Side Erev, if I'm not mistaken, I think is Rabbi Robinson has in his office. You can ask him when you see him. But anyway, yes? Good?
It's in the Lincoln Square.
Lincoln Square. Oh, very good. So getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says that we're talking about the Modayin. The Modayin is good for everybody, no problem. Now we're on to B'chaziz Loy. Chaziz Loy is about 10 lines from the bottom. We're talking about green grain. That you cannot use for an Eder. V'omer Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Amar Rav, Kishus V'chaziz Ma'arvin Behen. U'mavorchan Alein Boyer Pri Adama. Kishus is referring to hops. Hops is one of the major ingredients of beer brewing. And chaziz is the same chaziz that green grain. It says you can use for an Erev. Rav said you cannot, but the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the same Rav, it's the chasir Rav and Rav. One Rav says chaziz you can use for an Erev, and the other one says you cannot use a chaziz for an Erev. And the bracha is very pretty. Then we'll talk about the bracha more on the Amid days. But more like Asher. How the comment be also Rav the Bavel, the also Rav the Bavel. Before Rav came to Bavel, he never ever saw anyone eating green grain, and so therefore he figured this is not edible and you cannot make an Erev. When Rav came to Bavel, he saw hundreds of people eating green grain, and he realized apparently people feel that it is edible. So therefore, if it's edible, you can go and use it for an Erev. And that's why he changed his mind. He said, you know what? I changed my mind. You can use it. Sorry? Yes, Steve?
A lot of people eat wheatgrass now.
Oh, you see? So you have a I was going to say today you have a lot of all types of strange people, but since people that eat green grass would not want to be referred to as strange, so I will withdraw that comment, act as if I didn't say anything. Anyway, so the Gemara says, fine. So in Bavel, tons of people eat green grain. Mazel tov. Bavel have Yeruba de Alma. Is Bavel now the rov of the world? The rov of the world, people don't eat green grain, so how can you use it for an... Maybe in Bavel you can use it for an Erev, but how can you use it anywhere else? So if you move to Tanya, and I'll bring you a raya. It says in a braisa, ha-pul v'ha-sa'ir v'ha-tilson. Pul is beans, sa'ir of course is barley, tilson is fenugreek. Shezoran, if you planted them, li-yerek, but l'dayte eitza kolodim. What does that mean? Normally people that grow pul, sa'ir v'tilson, they want it for the final product. The final product of the pul would, of course, be the beans and the sa'ir, the barley, that you can make barley bread or barley for your chulent or whatever, tilson fenugreek for whatever you use it for. This person wants it, he planted it for yerek. Yerek means when it's still in its green vegetable form before it becomes fully developed and ripened into the final product. So such a person that went and zorn yerek, but the daita eitzer kol adam, he is not considered to be like one of the masses, because most people don't grow pul sa'ir v'tilson for the yerek. And the fichan, therefore, zoron chayav v'yorkon potter. When it comes to giving trumas u'maisrois, since trumas and maisrois are only given from the gmar melacha, when you're finished doing your miruach, when you're finished with processing your food, if you have the ultimate zera, meaning the ultimate product that you normally produce pul, that you grow pul sa'ir v'tilson, you're chayav, you have to go and give trumas and maisrois. However, if it's in fact a yorkon, Yorka means they're still in their green condition before they have fully developed, even though that was your intention, that's why you planted it. But l'dayta etz kaladim, you put it from trumas amaisus, because it's not considered to be a full-grown fruit or vegetable as yet. Hashichlayim, which is cress, v'hagargir, gargir is the rocket plant. This is what Steve was referring to earlier. Gargir is rocket plant. I don't know what rocket plant is. I'm sure Steve does, and he probably can give us a stomachful, not an earful, but a stomachful of what gargir is. But anyway,
it's like arugula. It's a spicy. It's a green used in salads.
So I probably get it at these fancy chasanas, which I can't eat, and then that's fine. That's delicious.
Arugula. You can find arugula in New York.
You can. Okay, good. Anyway, so shichlayim v'agargir shezorim liyerek. Once again, if you planted it for yerek for the greens, then misasrin yerek v'zera. Zorim v'zera, misasrin zera v'yerek. In other words, shichlayim and gargir, the types that some people eat it in their green form when they're undeveloped, unripened, while others eat it after they become fully ripened, and so therefore 50-50 the population, some azoi, and therefore you have to go and give trumas and maestris whichever way they come out, whichever way you grow them. Anyway,
you know, a lot of breads have been made with sprouted grains for a long time.
Uh-huh.
So they take the seeds, they sprout them, and the wheat, we have sprouts now, people eat sprouts, but sprouted grains have been around many, many centuries.
Okay, so I guess the customary...
Even your bread could be sprouted.
So I guess the customs regarding what you eat and what you don't eat have changed over the years. But anyway, at least in the times of Chazal, the Gemara is telling us that you don't go after the eccentric views of particular individuals, but rather you go based on roiv of the population. And that's why we said that Pulse Oyer and Tiltson, even though this guy planted it for the Yerek, nevertheless, Batel Dites Eitz Kaladim. So the Chor, we should say the same thing by the Chaziz, even though there happen to be lots of people in Babel that eat Chaziz when it's grain, when it's green grain. But most people throughout the world don't. So shouldn't I say the Babel is Batel to the rest of the world? And therefore I should go and say that Ein Ma'arvin B'Chaziz. Everybody mark Yikom Omer Rav. When Rav said that you can be Ma'arvus Chaziz, it's talking about Bide Ganunaisa. Ganunaisa means that it grows in the garden, in the Gina. The word Ganunaisa comes from the word Gina, on the top of Chof Ches Amid Beis. And so therefore, that type of Chaziz that grows in the Gina, says Rashi, Kuli Alma Achli Lo. It's not only the people that live in Bavel, but even people in Australia, even people in Eretz Yisrael, even people in New York, everywhere people go and eat the Chaziz, the green grain, if it grew in the garden. So it has to be three G's together. Garden, green, grain. That you can be ma'arav with. Other chaziz you cannot be ma'arav with. Freit the Gemara, gargir. Gargir is that rocket plant that we spoke about before, the ma'chazi. What can you use that for? Apparently, people didn't typically eat gargir. Today may be different. And therefore the Gemara is asking, why would he even be talking about making an Erev from Gargir? So Rabbi Yochanan Shekem Rishonim Shloyan and Pilpulin. In earlier generations where they didn't have the benefit of pepper, Shoichken Oise, they used to go and take the Gargir. There would be Shoichken Oise, they would go and grind it down to a fine powder. Might be in ways it's lean, they use that for a dip. They would go and taste things that they were roasting, they would go and dip into this Gargir powder, and this was Gishmak. And therefore, it was in fact a major edible product years gone back, even though today it's probably fallen into disuse, since most people today have pepper.
Maybe on a Seder plate for the bitter herb.
Uh-huh. Well, we have our kavlin we had already a couple of days ago.
If you don't have, you could use this instead.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, halacha l'maisa, speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi. But it's a nice comment. Anyway, so the Gemara continues on. Reb Zeira k'av cholish begirsei. When Reb Zeira was tired and exhausted from learning, he had already learned 18 hours straight, and he pashut, he didn't have any koyach left to continue learning. He would go and sit on the doorway to the Bismedesh of Yehuda Barami, and Omar, he said, you know what? Kinafki v'ayli rabban eikum mikamayu v'akababu agra. Even though at this point I'm just so exhausted I cannot learn, but at least I want to be mekayim something with Talmud Torah. So Lefnei seva tokim v'yadar t'pnei zokin. Zokin means zeh shekana chachma. When I see the talmid chachamim coming and going, I'll stand up for them. So at least I'll get some schar related to limud hatayr. And guess what? He sat there outside the besmedish, and instead of a big talmid chacham coming out, osi nukin debeirav, a kleine cheder yingle came out from the besmedish. Amaleis, he said, my agmar harabach, what did your rabbi teach you? Amaleis said, we learned hilchas brachos, kishus, which are the hops, which are used for brewing beer. Bayer priyadama, that's the bracha. Chaziz, you make a bracha shehakal nebidvari. It's Amaleis, Reb Zera said, tell your rabbi that what he taught you is wrong. Adarab, ipcha mistabit, see all the way around. What's the other way around? Hi, the chaziz, grows from the ground, therefore, although you can't make a mezoinis on it, or hamoitzi, because it hasn't gotten to the point of using for dough and for baking, so it grows from the ground, like anything that grows from the ground. If you eat strawberries, if you eat potatoes, you eat tomatoes, it comes from the ground, you make a bari pri adama, you make a bari pri adama on chaziz. The high, in the kishus, you don't go and plant hops. Hops grow on their own from thorn bushes and other types of bushes. They just kind of glom onto the bushes, and they grow that way. So they grow me'avira kamarbi. So if they me'avira kamarbi, it should be similar to mushrooms, and it's not bari pri adama, even though it looks like it's growing from the ground, but it's really growing from the ear. Therefore, you should go and make on it a shehako. So it's just the opposite. The kisha should be the shehako, and the chazi should be the bari pri adama. Says the Gemara, even though what Reb Zera said makes a lot of sense, but Lamaisa Hilchas Akinukim Leirav, this Chayde Yingel and his Rebbe were right. My time, because Hai Gemar Peri, when you're talking about the Kishas, the line stops here, the buck stops here. In other words, these are fully grown Kishas. The Gemar Peri, you make a Bayer Priyatama. Vahai, in the case of the Chaziz, since it's still green grain, Lav Gemar Peri, it's not finished yet. When it'll be finished, you'll wait another week or month until it fully grows, and then it's kishmak, and then you'll cut it, and you'll make a dough out of it, then, you know, or even if you don't make dough, but then you can make a bari pri adama, because at least it's a gemar peri. I might the comments you I said about the fact that the chaziz and the ara karabi, v'hai, and the kishus and the hops may avira karabi, lohi, that's really not true. Because kisha nami may ara karabi. Even the kishus, the hops, also grow from the ground. Ah, you're telling me that grows on the tops of these bushes? The katlinan loh, the hismisa. Hismisa are, in fact, these bushes. The Gemara elsewhere calls them hismi vehigi. Those are like thorn bushes. And if you were to go and cut down the thorn bushes, guess what? Umaisa kishusa. And the hops also die. They also go bad. They no longer continue to live. Why don't they continue? The ear hasn't changed. I just cut down the bush. Is the chasimah that they also have yanika from the ground through the bush. So they are, in a sense, like parasites. They don't grow directly from the ground. They grow on the bushes, but the bushes grow from the ground and they get the nourishment from the ground. Fine. Let's go back to the Yomar Aleph. Again, Rav said that you cannot go and make an Eder from Kafnios. Kafnios, Rashi said on the Yomar Aleph, were inferior dates, bad dates, that didn't fully ripen. Aha, so you can't use unripened dates for an Erev. For Tani, we learned that a Braisa, Koir, Nikach, Bekefse, Meiser, they metama tumas oichlin. We're going to focus on Kor a little bit further down on the Omid, but Kor is basically stuff that grow on the palm trees. As you know, you get lulavim from your palm trees, and as you also know, many lulavim have this brown stuff in the back that they call kura. Now, the kor probably is related to the kura, but it's not the same, because kura is talking about brown stuff, which is not edible. People just remove it. But the kor is also something that grows from the same palm trees. And typically, at the outset, when it grows, it's still nice and soft, similar to the alim of a lulav, which are also soft. However, if you leave them on the tree and you don't cut it off, then it gets harder and harder and basically becomes as hard as wood. And in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see that lots of people use what could have been and what should have been lulavim. They use it after it gets harder, a year or two later, they use it for the schach on top of their sukkahs. So the difference between the schach and the lulav is nice and soft, while the schach over there is already hardened because it's a year or 2 years old. Okay, sehr fein. So now this kor is the young growth on these palm trees. So, nika b'kesem ma'aser, if you want to go and eat this kor, you can, and you can go and buy it using ma'aser sheni money. However, it's not considered to be your normal ochel, and therefore, if a sheretz or a nevela were to touch it, they do not transmit tuma to other ochel.
I think the core is what is called heart of palm.
Hearts of palms. Good. Thank you. And the kafniyos is what we're focusing on. That's the reason why we brought this price in the first place. Kafniyos are the unripened dates. Nichos because of ma'aser, those can be purchased with ma'aser sheni money, and they are matam b'tumas eichlin. So it sounds like they are food items because you can buy it with ma'aser sheni money, and there is a dinner tumas eichlin by kafnias. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, koir, again the hearts of palms. Thank you, David. Hariuk eitz l'chol dvar, it has the status of like eitz because most people leave the koir on the tree until it hardens and until it becomes like bark or a piece of wood. Ella, but nevertheless, when it is still fresh, when it's still moist, nika b'kesem ma'aser, you can purchase it with ma'aser sheni money. The kafniyos, which we just spoke about, harihen kepri l'chol devrayim, they are considered to be like a pri for all purposes. Ella shebeturis ben ma'aser, but you don't have to go and give trumis ma'aseris, because at least at this point, they are not gemar peiri, they are unripened dates. Anyway, but what do I see from both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? They both consider kafniyos to be fruit. Kafni is nikah b'kesem ma'aser. Then to Thomas Oichlin, Rabbi Yehuda says they're kapri l'chol divrayim. So if they are fruit, and for all purposes, why can't you go and make an eruv with kafniyos? Evnimar hasam b'de nischani. We're not talking about your normal kafniyos that grow from regular trees. We're talking those that grow, Rashi says, from dekolim zechorim. Rashi makes a distinction between male trees and female trees. And you'll remember when we had this a couple of weeks ago, Robert asked, what's a male tree and what's a female tree? And you'll remember that Brother Shai said at the time that sometimes it's cross-pollination or cross-breeding of one tree with the other to be able to produce better fruit. But anyway, if you have, right, isn't that what you said, Brother Shai, at the time? Okay, see? Maybe Gu'ul Olam. So hopefully the gula is just around the corner. Anyway, so what's the din about these kolim scharim? So Rashi says the distinction for our purposes between the male trees and the female trees are that the male trees, once it's developed kafniyos, that's where the buck stops. They do not grow any further, because after all, these are male trees, and it only develops into unripened dates. You cut it, and that's it. If you were to leave it on the tree for another month, it's still going to remain unripened dates, because that's what male trees go and produce. On the other hand, female trees, if you have the kafniyos, then have a little patience. In another week, another month, another 3 months, these dates are going to be ripe, they'll be delicious, they'll be sweet, they'll be gewaldig. Oh, so therefore it depends on which kafniyos we're talking about. Are we talking about the gemar pri kafniyos where it doesn't go further? Or you're talking about those dates where if you waited, it would get larger and they would ripen. So Zotimar Hassam, the brisa we just learned now, that the kafniyos are considered to be food items, and therefore you can buy them with kesem ma'aser, and the metametumas oichrim, the pri l'chol divrayim, that's talking about these male kafniyos where it won't go further. And therefore that's the gemar pri, and you can use that even for an erev. Masha Enkin, the ones that we had in the Omer Aleph, those are kafniyos from female trees, but they're not fully ripened yet, so they're not an ochel. If they're not an ochel, you can't use it for erevin purposes. Great Timara, Ihochi, if we're talking about Nischani, Baal Deim Rabbi Yehuda, Peturis Min HaMaiser, how can Rabbi Yehuda say about these kafniyos in the brisa which we just finished? He says, they're kepri l'chol devrayim, but they're potter for ma'aser, you don't have to give trumas to ma'asers. How could that be? Vatani, the same Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda lo huskru pagi bisyuni, el inyan ma'aser bulvad. What are pagi bisyuni? Pagi Bisuni Vahini de Tuvina Chayovim Bemaiser. So Rashi says, Pagi Bisuni, Bisuni is the name of a place. Pagi means unripened figs that come from Bisuni. And Ahini de Tuvina, says Rashi, is kafnios that come from the male trees. They're chayiv b'maaser. But you just said a moment ago that if you have kafnios from a male tree, you said it was potter and a maaser. Here Rabbi Yehuda says that it's chayiv b'maaser. Have a steer Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Says, forget about that teretz that I distinguish between male trees and female trees. Forget about that. That we said over here on the Amud Aleph, we said b'shem Rav that you cannot use these unripened kafnios to go and make an eruv. I here on the Amud Beis we're saying that they are oichel emetamis tumas oichlin. I'll tell you why. Well, then you tumas oichlin shani ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan hoy veroy lemaskan al yedei ho'ur. What the Gemara is telling us is that even though kafnios at the moment are unripened, and therefore you cannot eat them in their present form because they're not ripe, however, if you went and put them and roasted them or cooked them in the flames, in the fire, maskan of course normally means to make it sweet, but it means it makes it edible. So when they happen to be these small little shrimpy little dates which are unripened, they're bitter, Rashi says. They are morinheim. However, if you wanted to go and be maskalei de'ur, then you could. So it has the potential for the future. And that's why legabi and eruv, since on this particular Shabbos I want to be koneh shvisa, where my food is, to be able to go and eat from it, now it's inedible. And in Shabbos I can't go and cook it. I can roast it or toast it. Masha'en came the gabe tumas oichlin, since it has the potential for being an ochel by cooking it or by roasting it, whatever. So therefore, it does have a dinner tumas oichlin, like the Brisa said before. So we just said now, kid the Omer Rabbi Yochanan hoy v'roi l'baskin min or hachanami hoy v'yochel askin min or. Frank Timur, where did Rabbi Yochanan say his halacha originally? I heard it sound you in the following brisa. Shkedim amar. We have two different types of shkedim. Shkedim, I believe, are almonds, if I'm not mistaken. So you have almonds which are marim, which are bitter. Then ketanim chayav gedolim peturim. However, you have also sweet almonds, mesukin gedolim chayav ketanim peturim. What is this all about? So, what the Gemara, what Rashi explains is, Shkedim Amorim, the bitter almonds, are only bitter if they're fully grown. When the Ketanim, when they're only partially grown, they are still edible, they're still sweet. However, if you leave them on the tree another month or two until they finish growing, then they are Morim, are they bitter. And therefore, you're potter from giving Trumas and Maisers, because they're not edible. So when they're still Ketanim, they're still edible, you're chayv. When they become big and fat, then you're potter because they're not edible, they're marim. This is what Steve could use that as another marim substitute on the Seder plate. Not really, but at least in a jocular fashion. On the other hand, if you had shkedim mesukim, if you had sweet almonds, gedoilim, when they are fully grown, they're nice and sweet, chayavin, trumas and maisers. However, ketanim, when they're small, then they're still bitter, and then p'tun, then you're potter and trumas and maisers. Pshim Rabbi Yosi, Aymer Mishim Ovid, Pshim Rabbi Yossi says the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. There's another gear, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. Some say that he said Zev Zev Leptor. Rashi says we're referring specifically to the Shkedim Hamorim. That the Shkedim Hamorim sigh when they happen to be small and they're still sweet. Then they're Chayv Trumas Maisers. But even when they are fully grown, they're also Mechayv Trumas Maisers. Omer Bilor. That both of them are potter because when they're small, they're not fully ripened yet, and therefore they're potter mitrumas and maisers. And when they're fully grown, they are so bitter that they're inedible. So they're always zebezel p'tur. Say if they're ketanim, say if they're gdoilim, always potter. Ulaman yom zebezel chiyav l'may chazi. After all, when they're small, they're not edible. And when they are large, they're not edible. So how can you have trumas and maisers on them? Or the way they are, you're right, they're taka bitter, or they're too small, and they're not edible, 100%. But if you went and put them in the fire would burn out all of the mariris, all of the bitterness, and then it would be sweet and gishmak. Oh, so just like Rabbi Yochanan said that the Gabi the Shkedim Amorim, Same thing applies to our kafniyos as well. So now we dwelt on kafniyos now for a while. Let's go back to the koir, which David told us means hearts of palms. Omamar, Rabbi Yehuda oimek koir haryuke eitz techol devarav. Koir, hearts of palms, are like eitz, is like a piece of wood. Elishnika b'kesem eitzer. But you're allowed to go and buy it with maaser sheni money. Feitimar hayitana kama. Isn't that the same as the Tanakama? Now, what do we mean it's the same as the Tanakama? Look back at the beginning of the Braisa. The Braisa is almost halfway down the Omud. The Braisa said, Vartanya, kor nikach bekesem meiser. You can buy kor for kesem meiser, meiser sheni money. They metam to masachim, but it's not an oichel, it's not metam to masachim. Then skip to Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, kor is like eitz lechol devarav. It's like a piece of wood. And therefore, it's not metami tumas oichlin because it's not an oichel; it's wood. Elishenika b'kesem meiser, but you can go and buy with kesem meiser. So that's exactly what the Tanakama said. Tanakama also says koif kar nika b'kesem meiser. So Tanakama says it's not metami tumas oichlin because it's not an oichel. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not metami tumas oichlin because it's eitz. Aren't they saying the same thing? Omer Abaya sholke b'tadnu ikim b'nayu. The nafkamina between the two is, if and when you go and cook them. So this is similar to what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that Roy Lamaskin al Pi'ei De'ur, that if you were to go and take this car, and you were to go and do shlika, shlika means not just superficial cooking, but long time cooking, you have to go and cook it 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Or tigno means that you went, Rashi says, b'shemen, which means normally that you fry it, Ikebenayo, that would be the nafkimina. What's the nafkimina? According to Tanakamo, oh, that's a different story. That already would be an oichel. Masha'enken, according to Yehuda, that says so strictly, this is a piece of wood. Just like if you took a piece of wood and you were to fry it, or if you were to boil it for 6 hours straight, wood is wood is wood, it won't become more edible. So according to Yehuda, it never gets to the status of an oichel. So metama to masachem. Maskler Rava, Mikal Mandiyom, Shok, Vatog, Lulai. Doesn't everybody agree that if you go and cook it and cook it and cook it, that eventually it's edible? But then you have a braisa, or v'hashilya. Or means the outside hide of an animal. Shilya is that amniotic sac or something, or the placenta that grows together with the baby, etc. Because these are not an oichel, you don't eat the hide of the animal, you don't eat the shilya. However, or shisholka, if you took that same, or the cattle's hide, and you cooked it and cooked it and cooked it, the shilya shechishav aleha, and you decided that you want to go and eat this shilya, this placenta, or whatever, then metamei tumas oichel. So you see, by or ein lecha eitz gedoyla mizu, if you have a piece of hide, that hide can be used to go make leather shoes, or a leather pocketbook, or to make a cover for a bed, or a cover for a table. You don't normally eat or, that's cattle hide, that's cow hide. However, our Gemara says, but if you cook it and 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 cook it some more, then it gets a din of an ochel in the tamatum asaychlin. So, Ibazoi, shouldn't the same thing apply to the koir? Koir is much softer than oir. So, madach oir, if you cook it a lot, it gets tum asaychlin. So, certainly the same thing, the koir should be koir. Koir, again, are the hearts of palms, which if you go and cook it intensely, it should be tamatum asaychlin. Elamarava ikamenayu bracha. Avad, everybody agrees, sholku b'togno, it gets the status of an oichel. So what's the machloek between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda legabi kor? Which bracha do you make? Itmar kor, Rabbi Yehuda omar, boire pri hadama, ushmul omar shahakal nibid varoi. Rav Yehuda, this is not Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rav Yehuda, says you make a boire pri hadama, shmul says shahakal. Rav Yehuda omar boire pri hadama, oichelahu. If you went and cooked the kor, it becomes an oichel. Shmuel says, I agree with you that if you cook it and cook it and cook it, it is edible. But that's not the intent. When you go and plant and grow your palm trees, it's not that people should go and cut off the koir and go and cook it. The intention is to leave it lahakshois. And once it becomes taken kosher, it becomes like an eitz. So therefore, you can't make a bracha by pri adama. Maximum you can make a bracha would be a shahakal. Amli Shmuel Rav Yehuda, shinna, you sharp one, or you long-teethed one, kavosev mastavra, what you're saying, that it's a boyer pri adama, even though I, Shmuel, disagree, but the svara is with you. Why? That's annoying. If you're talking about radishes, leave a radish in the ground for a long period of time, it also becomes as hard as a rock or as a piece of wood. And nevertheless, if you cut the radish when it's still fresh, everybody makes a bari pridama on a radish. And therefore, the same should apply to the car. The car, if you leave it on the tree, it's going to become hard like a piece of wood. But if you cut it early, you should go make a bari pridama. So therefore, Shmuel compliments Rabbi Yehuda and says, even though I hold mine, but I think you're right. Says the comparison, the parallel tanoin, is a faulty comparison. Why? Because tanoi not the inchia died in the pugla. When people plant radishes, because they want to eat radishes. A person, whoever, who plants dikla, he plants a palm tree, like not the inchia died to kura, people don't go and plant palm trees for the heart of palms, they leave the koyer on the tree so that the tree should go and expand and grow taller and wider and heavier, etc. They leave it for the wood so that it should be a stronger tree. And therefore, you cannot bring a raya from tonight. It says, even though Shmuel complimented Rav Yehuda, if a person eats these koyer items, the hearts of palms from the palm trees, you make on it a shahakol, not a boyer privat dhamma. We'll stop here at the two dots. Tomorrow we'll continue talking about Hilchis Erevin and Hilchis Brachis by various types of food items. Any questions, Rabbi Sai?
Tomorrow what time?
Oh, 8:21, is that right? 8:21? Because tomorrow is a Grois Chag, a Labor Day, and therefore, and also long Tachlin, and also long Leining, and also blowing Shofar and Ledovid. So 8:21, correct? Barry, you please kindly send a